It was about 2 years ago, my nephew, Colton Mewborn, who lives in Florida, and he called, and he happens to be a rep for a knife company. This knife company is just really proud of the fact that the handles that their knives are made of is the same material they make a bowling ball out of. You know, so maybe you know who that is. So he's telling me all this stuff, and he's saying, "Hey, Uncle Dave," said, "I'm trying to make this quota and everything. Do you mind if I, you know, give you this spill?" And I said, "Absolutely. I realize I'm going to buy something, so go right ahead." So he gets into it, and we go through all of this stuff, and I'm visually going through the drawer, which I really don't care. But anyway, we're doing all this stuff. And at the end of this, he said, "Well, hey," he said, "does that sound pretty good to you?" And I go, "Sure." And he said, "Well, Uncle Dave, today, that will only be $119 and something." And I go, "Awesome." He said, "No, Uncle Dave," he said, "that's today." And what he didn't tell me was that there was going to be two more payments. I said, "Well, Colton, let's back up here a little bit, bucko. I'm trying to help you get a quota. I don't care. I've got knives. I can find knives. They have knives at Walmart." You know, I mean, that's what I'm thinking. But I didn't want to burst his bubble, you know, whatever. And, you know, you and I have been deceived to stuff like that, haven't you? I have these pots in our house that Debbie and I were given the wonderful financial opportunity to buy these at one time. And they're the only thing that I bought that at that time I thought, "I'm just an idiot. I don't have the money. I bought them anyway," but they're still there. I'm going, finally, something that paid off. You know, do you want to talk about vacuum cleaners for a few minutes? How about dishwashing detergent? Well, okay, let's just leave all that away, okay? Join me in Colossians, the second chapter. You're going to find the heart of Paul, who every one of us here kind of know who Paul is. He wrote the majority of the New Testament and these epistles, and he had three missionary journeys. He established all these churches. And it's hard for you and I to really associate with this from the context of a church. But those of you who have ever planted a business, those of you who have ever invested in an individual and wanted to see them successful, and you really kind of hovered over that or fathered that situation or really monitored that deeply and sincerely, you know, you keep getting in there and want them to do well. You want them to do well. And that's the way that you need to see this picture of what Paul is talking to the Colossians about, because they were dealing with things that we're going to deal with today. And the reason that I wanted to present all this is that as we turn the corner, go into a new year, you know, the temptation is, because tomorrow is the new year, to set up a New Year's Eve and a New Year's message. And I don't want to be trapped into that sense of obligation. But at the same time, we need to be prepared for where we're going. Because this isn't about, let's just have a better me and better you and a better church and a better day and a better set of habits and that type of thing. Of course that goes with all this. But there needs to be a sense of awareness as to where we are and what's going on in our world so that we aren't deceived as we go down the road. Fair enough? So let's join Paul's writing in the second chapter, verses 1 through 8. He says, "For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea." Right off the bat, Paul is saying, "Man, I'm telling you what, you guys are heavy on my heart. I am really, really, really thinking about you." He goes on to say, "And for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches and the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it that with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." And I like the way verse 8 is summed up in the NIV. It says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and basic principles of this world rather than that on Christ." So I think he's having a little bit of a struggle, if you will, a burden for this church that's in Asia Minor. And here's the things that he wants from it. He points it out in his writing. Three things. First thing he says, he wants them to be encouraged. Man, I love if somebody comes along and encourages me, don't you? I mean, I love when somebody comes around and pats you on the back and says, man, you can do this. Let's go. I think you're the guy for the deal. You know, come on, here we go. I like encouragement. I don't want false enthusiasm. I don't want somebody to be blowing, you know, smoke up my skirt. But I want somebody to just be there for me, a support, a pat on the back. And that's what he's doing. He wants him to be united in love. He wants this incredible church, these people, he wants them to come together and be really united. There's nothing more powerful than knowing and feeling that we're in this thing together and we're for each other. It was a long time ago, a guy that I knew named Dennis, and he was in campus ministry, and he said this. He said, you know, it's amazing what God can do when nobody's worried about who gets the credit. When everybody just wants to see the accomplishment, we just want to finish the task. We just want to cross the finish line, and who cares who's first? Who cares who gets the trophy? Let's just make it together. And that's what he's talking about for this church. And then he says this. He wants them to experience the mystery of God through Christ. Sometimes the Bible has churchy words or spiritual words, phrases that we don't really kind of connect with immediately because we wouldn't use them. But he says the mystery of God through Christ. Now, that word mystery sounds to be somewhat like mystic, if you will. But, you know, basically the definition of mystery is something that is true but has not yet been revealed. It doesn't have to be some kind of spiritual thing. It doesn't have to be some special revelation. It doesn't have to be a vision. It just be something that God wants to reveal to us. And he's saying this. I want you to see the unknown things that you haven't seen yet about God, but I want you to see it through Christ. Now, that boils it down to where I can participate, can't you? Now I know this isn't about I have to have some special revelation. I have to have some special anointing. I have to have some special permission. But that I, as just a lay person, if you will, a regular person, a good old Joe, if you will, just somebody that just gets up every morning, puts their clothes on, goes to work, goes to school, does a good job, comes home, loves their family, that he wants me to know these things of God. And he wants us to see that it's through Christ that we do that. The reason that's so important is for most of us, we will go through 2018, if we're not careful, and we'll do the same thing we've done every other year. And this isn't about doing something different, but we'll experience Christ on this level instead of this next level stuff. What am I talking about? When you talk about this stuff, you use dangerous words like revival. Dangerous words like being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Dangerous pictures and images of like people literally being moved by the power of God in these church and in their life and in these schools and in their families and in their homes. That's the next level of stuff. You see, there's a lot of people that are going to go to heaven and they just kind of, it's not that they decided to coast, but they just kind of drifted through their Christian existence. They didn't lose out with God. But they didn't really experience what God is really doing for them. This is what I believe Paul is doing. He says, listen, I don't want this to be some hit and miss Bible stuff thing either. I don't want this to be an every now and then rise to the surface prayer thing. I want you to be impacted by what God can do there. And it's hard to experience that by just wishing it to happen. It's only through Christ. I think the sad thing that I really feel compelled to share with you about 2018 is that there's a whole lot of people that never really reach that fulfillment of the commitment and the results, and they never see that mystery. They just see that Christianity is go to church, be a good person, pay your bills, and that kind of thing. And yeah, that's great, but it's not excellent. It's good, but it's not exciting. You know, and God has so much, much more for it. That's why Paul said, even as you've received Christ, walk in him. Be rooted, be built up in your life with him. Establish yourself in his faith, because he also knew that it was going to be difficult doing it in this present world to keep your faith. Now, in the King James Version, it uses the word beguile. He says, do not let anyone beguile you. And that word literally by definition means to deceive with enticing words. To deceive with enticing words. My cute little red-headed nephew from Florida was trying to achieve this goal, and I know good and well he wasn't trying to deceive me, but that whole presentation was leading up to a pair of things instead of the whole package. You know, and if I didn't know any better, and if I couldn't have been honest with him on the phone, I said, bottom line is, I said, listen, Colton, I'm going to buy something, so let's just get down to it, okay? You said we're going to do this thing in 15 minutes, let's do it, all right? And just like he said 15 minutes, it ended up being 30. I said, I'm going to preach for 15, forget it. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. But he's talking about the traditions of men and the principles of this world getting mixed into all of our stuff. If you read in the Bible, you find out that Paul went to this one city, I think it was Ephesus, and he finds that there's this statue created to all the unknown gods. It's kind of like, well, we're not sure. We don't want to leave anybody else out, so let's just make sure we create one to all these unknown gods since they're worshiping all these different gods. And you know what? It just kind of watered down everything. And the biggest problem that the Jews were having, we're not only trying to go, okay, we used to be in the Mosaic law. We used to be the Old Testament, what it said. Now we're trying to convert over this to this relationship with Christ versus this religion, if you will. But on top of that, all of these influences through the region were coming into that. And man, they were having a hard time really kind of focusing on what is important. So what are we facing? We're facing the same thing that they were. It's the flesh versus the spirit. It's this world that we live in right now versus the one that we're going to. You see, what most of us are focusing on, well, I hope that when I die, I go to heaven. But God says, listen, how about living a little bit of heaven right now? How about living a whole lot of heaven right now? Why don't you let me influence you to where you can be experiencing heaven right now? Because I've heard this said before, and I love the picture. It says, we're only practicing for heaven for what we're doing right now, the life we're living. The only cool things when we get to heaven, we're not going to have 15 degree below zero temperatures. We're not going to have blue jean and Bert boots day. We're going to be in the spirit, and we're going to be free from all of this stuff that kind of hampers us down and the flesh and everything, and it's going to be a really cool thing. But the battle is not fought with bombs and guns that we'll be encountering here lately. It won't. It will be with words. Make no mistake, the tools that Satan is using right now is philosophies and principles and all of this chatter. Now listen, I know that we don't like the fact that people are wearing bombs and walking into crowds and setting them off and killing people. I realize that we don't like the fact that somebody every now and then walks into a church and opens fire. And that gets all the attention. But if you listen to the common day conversation out there, it's all this confusion, and it's a bunch of clatter and clamor, and it's all these words, and it's getting all watered down, and nobody knows exactly what to do. And it's because that's the tools of this day that we're going to face. And in 2018, it's only going to ramp up. Well, listen, forgive me for saying it, but here we go. We got a midterm election coming up, all right? Now, I'm not going to get into politics, although I already have with just that comment, but can you... Oh, are you just already sick and to death of all the stuff you're going to hear about all of this stuff? And it's just going to stir things up. And we're going to have good people that are going to be just absolutely defamed. We're going to have bad people elevated to greatness. It's horrible. And it's all words. It's all words. And that's what we're facing in this. And listen, when we live for Christ, there's going to be casualties. There's this guy in the Bible named Demas. And when you look at him closely, you know, there's a couple of places in Philemon, whatever you want to call that book, the Bible says that he's a laborer for Christ. In another place, he's lumped in with all the followers that Paul had with supporters as one of the fellow followers. But then in 2 Timothy, this is what Paul says about him. And Demas has forsaken me. And here's this follow-up. Having loved this present world. Having loved this present world. It's so easy to find yourself through words and conversation and things drifting away from the foundation of what you really believe. And I believe in the 2018 is going to be stronger than anything else. So let me share a couple of these philosophies that with you that we need to be careful with. The first one is simply this, that right and wrong are relative. Right and wrong are relative. It's relative to my circumstances. It's relevant to my environment. It's relevant to my culture. Because there are no absolute truths anymore. It's just what you figure out or what you feel or how you think things are true. Now listen, I understand that people can grow up and, you know, their whole mentality, the way their parents were and stuff like that, that stealing is okay. You know, I understand that. But, you know, I understand also that if somebody's hungry, that they can take something because they're starving. I understand that. I really do. I have no problem with that. And what I mean by that is even though they're still stealing, the motive wasn't, I want to steal something. The motive is, I'm starving to death. Does that make sense to you? How many of you, listen, you got to be my age or older. How many of you stole watermelons when you were young? Come on. There you go. You snuck into somebody else's watermelon patch, and you took that sucker, and you left with it, and you ate it, and you're going to hell if you didn't repent of that. Come on, that was fun, but that was wrong. It was wrong. But there's a lot of people out there, if they're starving, it's one thing. But we've created a culture that, you know what, it's okay. It's just all right. They don't see anything wrong with it. Do you see the diversity in that thing? Do you see the deception in that thing? That now something that's totally and completely wrong will always be wrong is now right and okay, permissible. And you know what? Even encouraged. What do we get disgusted if when one of these riots bust out and they bust into a Walgreens or whatever, people just flying in and out grabbing anything they can. They don't need that stuff. You know good and well they don't need that stuff. But they're just following what the crowd is. It's free. It's open. Nobody's going to be arrested or that type of thing. It's crazy. Gallup poll found this out. 82% of college students say that they believe there are no absolute truths. And the morality is relative to your experience. That's what they believe. Right and wrong no longer is based on absolutes, but based on individual opinion. Listen, we understand this, that absolute truth is always absolute. It's always true. That's all there is to it. You know, red is red, okay? It can't be anything else. Green is green. It can't be any of that. White is white. Black is black. We understand this. But our opinion, our experience, our circumstances, and sometimes the interpretation tends to change the truth. You probably had a grandpa like me. He had great sayings. My grandpa had one little saying. He said, you know what? Opinions are like underarms. Everybody has a couple and they all stink. I just thought, you know, he had crazy stuff like that. Now I'm going, there's a lot of wisdom in that. He was a pretty cool guy. I mean, he made my sermon right there. You know. But listen, we have allowed ourselves to justify just about anything. We really have. Remember, 2 + 2 used to equal 4, but now it's how hard you work toward getting that conclusion. I love the fact that my son is now in education. He's teaching some young people. I think they're 6th and 7th graders over in Skytook, where that's where Skytook Gym lives. So what a challenge. If he's a representative of that kind of thing, pray for my son. But he said, man, he said, these kids are just, they're just a joy. But he said, I can't believe some of the things that we come into. But he said, you know what? I bought some nice, wonderful red lead, you know, pencils the other day because I still grade in red, you know. And I just thought about that because education is no longer about A's and B's. It's about the effort. It's about, you know, if you care, then you know what? That's about the same thing as accomplishment. Well, let me ask you, when you go to your doctor, you want him to care or you want him to cure you? I think we know what the difference is there. We ask for excellence there. Why can't we ask for it everywhere? And listen, I know we got Gary Warren, who's an Army guy. So if you're an Army guy and this doesn't ring true for you, forgive me. But I read this, and I'm not sure, but it says that they've changed the word obstacle course to the challenge course. Because no longer is it something to overcome, it's something that's supposed to challenge you. You know, I don't know if that makes it softer or whatever. I doubt it, especially if you're in the uniform going through it. I doubt it changes anything. But it's the way that we phrase things that makes things crazy. Proverbs, the 4th chapter, verse 9 says this. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not even know what makes them stumble. The sad thing about a young man who would, and listen, don't you race in your mind to give him a color. We have to be disciplined to do that. But when you see something on TV and you do have a riot situation, somebody runs into that place and they start stealing things, we understand it is difficult, but it's hard to understand also that they have absolutely no idea why that's wrong. Matter of fact, they are just following the crowd. All it takes is one person to say, let's do this, or to do it, and it's permissible for everybody. And we're appalled at it. We're appalled at it. Well, can I just tell you, sometimes we get under the same influence. One person at your office tells a joke, it's a little off color. Next thing, it opens a door, doesn't it? It opens a door. Oh, it reminds me of a joke. And you start telling these jokes. Oh, well, I got this. It's got this one little word in it, but this is funny. So for the sake of humor, we open the door for the inappropriate. You see how that works? And that was all through words. It wasn't actions. It was all through words. Wade Wilson said this, without a moral compass, people cannot rationally make decisions about what is right and wrong for themselves or for our society. We can't decide if an unborn baby is a human being or a blob of tissue because we have listen to the rhetoric of the politically correct instead of checking out the medical facts that life begins at conception, an absolute that is supported by the Bible. On subjects ranging from abortion to homosexuality to sex before marriage, we have become a nation led by what is popular. We have let the evening news or the Hollywood elite or the latest and greatest ideas from our value system rather than the moral absolutes that have stood the test of time tell us what to do. You know what? I'm preaching to the choir here, for crying out loud. You know, most of this you don't have any problem with. Most of this you would amen if we were amen in church. Most of you, well, there you go. Yeah, I feel like Mark Perkey up here begging for amens. You know, that's the way it goes. You know, there's things that we go, I have no problem with that. But the problem is we're going to get sucked into this if we are not careful. If we're not careful, we'll get right, and then we'll just wake up and go, how did I get here? I'm right in the middle of this. Wrong is wrong every time, just like sin is sin every time. Well, let me go down a little road with some thin ice on it, okay? I don't know about roads with thin ice, so how about a pond with thin ice on it, all right? But I know when it comes to homosexuality, I'm supposed to tolerate homosexuality, but I'm also supposed to give it appreciation, an equal appreciation to the way that I view sexuality. Now listen, what I'm talking about is the common thread that's going on out there, and I'm using this as an example. You know, it's not only that I'm supposed to say, okay, you can do that, but I'm not going to do that. I think it's wrong, you know, you think it's right, whatever. But the problem with that is that nowadays, I'm still in the wrong unless I give it equal appreciation and validation in my life. So my values, whether they're spiritual or not, have to be compromised to embrace everybody's values. Do you see what that is? It's a blending of the world, the way they see things, and the way I see things. And that's why Paul is keeps directing everybody back to Christ. Listen, God hates homosexuality. There, I said it. But God loves and died for the person in sexuality. Listen, God loves you. God loves you, but he died for you as well. Don't forget, we were Romans 5:8 at one time. While Christ was on the cross dying for us, we were out there running around sinning like crazy. That's exactly what was happening. Listen, this is not hate speech. It's truth speech. I'm not putting anybody down here. It is not my job. It is not my obligation, nor is it my privilege to put somebody down because of something like that. Because you know what? God hates lying, too. God hates gossip, too. God hates stealing, too. And we could just end the line there right there because that's all there is to it. And we understand it. But sex before marriage and out of marriage, listen, I'm tired of people ruining their lives because they're following this permission path that we've created out there that everything is okay and you can justify it. Families are being destroyed. Listen, don't get me started on pornography. Don't get me started on profanity. Don't get me started on gambling. Maybe I just need to stop right there. There's a lot of things out there, guys, and 2018 is going to raise its ugly head after we get through these holidays because it's business as usual, but only it's going to be intensified. And listen, I know everybody since the dawn of man in your life has said this, but I'm telling you, it's more valid today than it ever has been. All of this is ramping up to the end of days. All of this is ramping up. This thing is going to be concluded somewhere, somehow, and it may very well be in my lifetime, if not yours. And it's all a part of what's going on. And God gave us the prophecy on these things. That's why Paul said, make the principles that guide your life be built on Christ and not a blend of Jesus and the world. Jesus said this, I am the way and I am the truth and the life. He did not say, I will tell you the truth. I will show you the truth. He says, I am the truth. So we have to remember that's the distinguishing there because everybody out there says, I am the truth. I know the truth. I know what's going on. Let me tell you how to feel. Let me tell you what to say. Let me tell you what to think. We need to start getting our information from a reliable source, and that is the Bible. Absolute truth still exists. It can be found in Jesus. It can be found in his Bible. Psalms 119:160 says this, all your words are true, and your righteous laws are eternal. Your righteous laws are eternal. Again, preaching to the choir, but let's make sure that we don't lose what the choir has gained by being the choir when we get out there and we get in the public. Amen. Here's another one we're going to hear. No one can know anything for sure. That's another way of saying there's nobody that has the right and the only way with all these things, whether it's spiritual or otherwise. One of the greatest deceptions we have encountered in the last 40, 50 years is the amount of religions that have been created and come out of nowhere and just popped up and just all of a sudden this is the new, the latest, greatest thing. The prevailing thought is this, that there are many ways of God. There are many new ways to touch God. Just pick your path, whatever you want to do. Because you know what? God is the same God up there, and we can just go all these routes. But I'm telling you, it's trouble. It's real trouble. And the product is simply this. It's doubt. And doubt is the greatest crippler of your faith. It's the greatest crippler of your faith. You see, when you hear all of these conversations, stop and think about it. This is what happens. People start talking, and they have a couple of legitimate things to say. You do remember that a lie has enough of the truth to where it sounds right, but it's still a lie. It's not all of it's true. It just has a portion of the truth involved. That's what makes a great lie, is it has a portion of the truth. And that's what's going to be spreading out there. And it's a crippler of our faith. Listen, if you begin to ask these questions, and I'm not putting anybody down because I understand this is the human part of us, but you begin to ask questions. What if the others are right? What if there is more ways to God than just Jesus? And then you start asking those questions that we've been asked for years. What about the heathen who's never been to church, never heard about Jesus? On and on and on, you start all of these speculations. And here's the problem. Your mind has gotten off of the one and only and solid thing that your faith says is true, and that's Jesus Christ. And now you've started to wonder over, well, what about this, or what about that, or what about way over here? You know what? Seriously, stop and think about it. You know, this is so elementary, we just write it off. But what if you were looking at a test, and it said, what is 2 + 2? And you know it's 4. But then you start thinking, well, wait a minute. I don't know. Is that really true? I mean, this just sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? It's so absolutely established in our mind that 2 + 2 = 4. But if you start expanding all of that, it's crazy. I'm telling you what, most of the affairs that ever started, somebody started thinking, you know what? I really do love my wife, love my family, love my kids, but you know, I have feelings for this other lady. What? It doesn't make sense in the moment, but, you know, at the same time, they start feeling with all these attitudes, and it's crazy. And it begins to erode your faith. Listen, you can know for sure, but it will be tested by your faith. You can know for sure, but it's going to be on the faith level. It's not going to be based on the facts. It's not going to be based on the evidence or the arguments. I've told you several times, listen, I'd be worthless in a debate with somebody who's an atheist or whatever. They could flash all kinds of stuff here. But you know what? You know what God's going to ask me when I stand before him today? He said, what did you think? I ought to be judged on what I thought, not on how wise I was. I'm not what they call an apologetic. Many of you know who Robbie Zacharias is. Many of you know who Dawson McAllister is. Many of you know a lot of these guys, Josh McDowell's. These are guys that will get there and they'll do the college debate stuff. I can't do that. I just don't do it. But I know one thing. I know who Jesus is. I know who Jesus is to me. I know what I know. And guess what? The most important thing that you're going to take through life, and especially into 2018, is what you know to be true. But if it gets watered down by all of these things that Paul calls philosophies, principles, vain deceits by the traditions of men, you're going to go down in a hurry. But today, we've eliminated faith and we've replaced it with logic. And the worst kind of logic of all, human logic. Hey, look how limited we are. I mean, there's some pretty smart people out there, but come on. I mean, there's no contest between what we know and what God knows. And we want to put our faith in what somebody else can say, the argument that they can present, the evidence that they have drummed up or whatever. It's unbelievable how that happens. Listen, faith says God created the world in 6 days and he rested on the seventh. And I believe that with all my heart. I believe that with all my heart. You go, but Pastor Dave, what about this? I mean, you got fossils and you got all this other stuff and that type of thing. Listen, I just want to tell you this one. You know what? If my God, if the God that I'm going to believe in couldn't create this earth in 6 24-hour periods and rest on the seventh day, then he's not much of a God in the first place. I'm not going to rest my faith on a God that took billions of years to do it, millions of years to do it, and he did it through an evolutionary process. Because you know what? When I need healing, I need it right now. When I need forgiveness, I need it right now. I don't want it to be down the road. I don't want to show up and it to show up 1,000 years from now. Now, that's just me. And you know what? You can believe whatever you want. You don't have to believe everything this pastor says. But I would caution you that whatever I say that is backed up by the Bible, you might want to pay attention to it. And you might want to pay attention to what the Bible says and judge me by it. That's not a bad thing. I have no problem with that whatsoever. If I'm not living up to what the Bible says, then we're in trouble. But logic doesn't agree with stuff like that. Faith says I'm forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. Logic says I don't deserve to be forgiven. You're right. You don't deserve to be forgiven. But through faith in Jesus, you can be forgiven. You're never going to earn it. You're never going to deserve it in the first place. Faith says I am healed, but my body and the doctor says you're sick. I understand that. But you know, let's listen to what God says and let's go through all of that. Paul said this, let no one take you captive, or that is prisoner, if you will, through hollow and vain deceit. Most of this is you're not going to get bullied. You're not going to get overwhelmed. This isn't going to be a riot mob that's going to push you in a direction you want to go. This is going to be a conversation. It's going to be stuff that you're going to listen to on the TV and the radio and things you're going to be involved in. The next thing you know, it is going to dissolve. It's going to water down. It's going to erode your strong faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? You can stand tall. You can stand strong. And you can stand firm in this world. But you can only do it when your faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there is no lie in Him. He is the absolute truth. He is the way. Let me give you some 100% of the time sure things. You ready for these? Number one, a lack of faith works every time. A lack of faith works every time. If you don't believe it, you don't have any faith in it, then guess what? It's not going to come about. You can say it all you want. But if you're iffy, you know, the Bible says if you're a double-minded man, what does it say about you? You're unstable in all of your ways. Yeah, we need to remember there's some scriptures in that that helps us too. The second thing, without Christ, you can do nothing. These are the words of Jesus in John 15. It says, without me, you can do nothing. You know, we all want to be self-made people. We want to stand strong. We want to be somebody. We want to accomplish things. Guess what? We can't do any of that without Jesus. This is the year that we need to really, really, really depend on Jesus and have Him a focal point in our life. The third thing is the Bible only works if you know it, so you better read it. The Bible only works if you know it, so you better read it. As much as I told you a few minutes ago that all I know is that if what I believe, what I know, what's happened to me, it needs to be based on what the Word has said and what the Word has done in me and not just me out here by myself, because I'm dead without the Word of God. That's why it's so powerful, and I hope you make it a habit of 2018 that you pray the Word of God, that you don't just pray things, but that you find the Scriptures to support that feeling, to support that faith, and read those things and bring them into your prayer life. The fourth thing, if you don't pray, you can expect nothing. Then the Bible says, you receive not because you do not ask. You know what? It's amazing. Sometimes we know exactly what we need, but we fail to pray. Listen, I don't know what it is. I think sometimes we have this dilemma that it's supposed to be this special moment created in church, or we have to have this special position, and we have to go through this special process, and then we can pray. No, it's praying. Just praying. You'd be amazed how many times God has answered a prayer that you just muddled instead of something that was really, really professionally put together and presented to God. Because you know what? He doesn't pay a whole lot of attention to PowerPoint things anyway. He just wants to hear your heart. 1 John 5:13 says this, these things have I written unto you that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that you, here we go, may know that you have eternal life. I will never forget the first time I read that, because you know, I was going through that phrase where I'd first gotten saved, and man, you know, if I had a bad thought, I thought I was going to hell. You know, if I had this angry moment, you know, I thought, oh, I've erased everything. I kept feeling like, well, I got saved, and then I got unsaved, saved and unsaved. I was just this horrible, nervous roller coaster ride I was on. And then I found out this verse of Scripture that I can know. This isn't a guessing game anymore. This isn't I hope I do enough anymore. This isn't if I'm good enough anymore. This is that if I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I can know I have eternal life. Man, how about that for a something solid to stand for? That's a pretty good platform, isn't it? That'll take you places that you never dreamed you could go when you know that you know that you know that you're saved. Man, that's something else. Let me take you back to that last verse in Colossians, the second chapter. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, and then that small ending, rather than on Christ. You know, the church in Colossae was just a short distance from the church in Laodicea. Their problem is that they were the lukewarm church. Remember that? They were the church that, through the angel, the Lord said, you know what? I wish you were hot or cold, but because you're just so lukewarm, I don't know what to do with you. Matter of fact, I want to spew you out of my mouth, is what the Bible says in the King James Version. It was not a good taste in his mouth. This was the situation with the Colossians. And Paul is desperately saying, listen, I've given you the truth. The truth is that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We read that in Hebrews 13. Don't lose sight of this fact. You can have people that are going to have a lot of polished presentations. They're going to be very sincere. And you see, sometimes we mistake sincerity for truth. But sincerity will only be relevant if it is the truth. Don't be deceived by these things, because there's a horrible, horrible ending to all of this if you are. So, where are you today? Stop and ask yourself these questions. Is your moral compass being influenced by the world, or are you being influenced by this awesome book called the Bible? Because it's real easy to get confused on both of them. Because the world knows how to gear you in the right direction, in the right perspective, but there is no foundation. It's just based on a lot of good words. Probably some common sense. In other words, human logic again. Have you become confused about right and wrong? Do you find yourself justifying the things you watch on TV? Listen, I know I sound old, and that's okay. I'm getting more excited, and I'm getting more secure in my oldness. And what I mean by that is what I'm fixing to say. Listen, I find fault in a lot of things that are being provided out there in just regular TV, not cable. I mean, some of this stuff is just incredible. It's dark. It's horrible. And I get amazed at the things that people want to just kind of rally around this thing. They think, this is great stuff to watch. I'm going, really? I don't see anything uplifting. And it may have a sense of theatrics to it. It may have a little bit of mystery. It may have a little drama. I don't know. But it has anything that draws me close to Christ. Matter of fact, it really compromises a lot of things that I know to be true of Christ. So have you compromised and confused right for wrong? Are you leaning on your own understanding? Are you starting to answer your own questions, or is the Bible answering these questions for you? Do you really know the truth anymore? Because it's so easy to get so wound up and so confused. I've said it before, but I'll never forget. We had a youth sponsor at Wood Lake. Debbie will remember them. He took me out to lunch one day. He took me out to lunch to let me know that he was going to be resigning and that he was having an affair on his wife. And he said this. He said, you know, Dave, he said, this woman is so right, it's got to be God. But listen, we can laugh at that on the surface. And it angers us deep underneath. But you know what he was saying? And I'm not about to throw him under the bus, because I still consider him a good friend to this day. But I'm going to tell you, you know what? His experience had overcome the truth. And it's so easy to do that. He was basically saying, this is how I feel, so that has to be true. And then what did he do? He did what every Christian does. We equate it with God. Good feelings equals God, doesn't it? It makes so much sense. This must be God. You know what? We need to hear God say that's what I'm doing. Romans 1st chapter, verse 25 says this. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And they worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator. Created things. All of this stuff under heaven. All of this stuff down here. You know what? Have you ever read Ecclesiastes? Solomon went on this massive pursuit to just get every joy, every thrill, every accomplishment he could. He built barns and tore them down and built bigger ones. He had 700 concubines. No wonder the guy was crazy. It was just, you know, all of this stuff, he was just nuts and nuts and nuts. You know, at the end of it, he said, it's all vanity. It's nothing. There's nothing better than to just serve God. And that's the purpose that we have. Let me just give you this one warning before we leave. What you believe today, you will live out tomorrow. What you believe today will fashion your tomorrow. What you believe leaving this church today will absolutely put into action what your 2018 will be. I promise you. And everybody in here, from the youngest to the oldest, knows exactly what that means. We better make some good decisions today. Amen. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. Here's what I'm going to challenge you to do. Wow, you guys are great. It's only 11:15. Doing awesome. Usually we don't get out till noon. That's supposed to be funny, but I guess you don't think so. You know, I would like to encourage you to do something today. Every now and then, it's just appropriate to just come and be in the altar. And listen, if you know, this isn't about if you're not in the altar, you're not serious. You know, please, this is not a judgmental time about whether you move or not. But there's just some of you that, in the sense of what I had been speaking today, you felt an urgency in your heart, you know, straight from the Holy Spirit. And if I could interpret kind of what I think he was saying, especially saying to me, he said, you know what? I want to do some fabulous things in your world. The next year is going to be measured by some really cool things. But only if you take the right steps. But only if you take this relationship that you have with me and you really affirm it in your life. Because it's going to be threatened. It's going to be challenged. There's going to be some tough times. There's going to be some trials. Nothing's ever easy. Satan isn't going to lay back and say, oh, I quit. They love Jesus. I'm done. Are you kidding me? He's got plans for your 2018 too. So I just want to know who you're going to follow in 2018. Is it going to be the Lord? What are you going to read? Stuff that's out there or His Word? What are you going to be influenced by? Conversations out there? Radio, TV, media, entertainment, Hollywood? Or His Word? Well, I know what the answer should be. Now we just have to make sure it's something that we affirm. And I think the best way to do that would be, as many of you that feel comfortable and you feel like the God is there, need you to do this. Just stand to your feet in just a few moments as they sing the song. And let's just come to this altar and let's just affirm that in our own lives. In whatever prayer that God has prepared in your heart, whatever you're thinking in your heart, man, let's move forward in 2018. Let's just not show up tomorrow and go, wow, here it is. Where are we going? What are we going to do? No, I don't want 2018 to happen to me. I want to happen to 2018. Does that make sense? And I want that for you too. Father, the next few moments, I pray that you'll bless this time that we have in the altar. I pray, God, that you will do some powerful things in our lives. I pray, God, that you will affirm some things that we already know, but we just need confirmed in our hearts. I pray, God, that you will fashion thoughts in our mind about what this new year is going to be like. Father, I pray you'll put to rest some of the things that we've been struggling with, these circumstances, these situations, the environment I'm in, the culture that's beginning to affect me, oh God. I feel like I'm in this thing all by myself. Help me to come back and realize the only thing I need is you. The only thing I need is you. And you told me without you, I can do nothing anyway. So, Father, I just want to affirm that today by just being in this altar for a few minutes before we launch out into the new year of 2018. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. As many of you will, with the congregation, will you please stand? As many of you that will just join me here in this altar for a few moments of just loving our God, touching the heart of our God, just claiming once again the things that you know to be true for your life, the things that He has fashioned for you in 2018, the things that He wants to confirm once again, establish you again, maybe a level of faith that you haven't experienced in a little while, maybe some things that you know that if, with God's help this year, it's going to be the year that you truly are, receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that you know you're going to see that loved one saved and come to Christ, that you're believing Him for something to happen in your body, in your life, your family, maybe a place where you were. Now's the time to just give that to Him. Amen.